Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
All right, all right. Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. Tonight, I got my homie coming back, David Cowlesser of Sip and Dip Incorporated. So if you want to holler at us, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number, 347-826-7435. Of course, we social network. Of course, we social network. Hit me up on Facebook, Twitter. I'm still up in the air. You know, I'm thinking about Instagramming, but I don't take a lot of pictures. You know, I'm not Sir Selfie, so y'all have to convince me to do the Instagram thing. I myself, I don't know. So if you want to convince me, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Once again, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Convince me. Why? Somebody tell me why I should do Instagram and just take pictures of me cleaning out my toe jam and whatnot and putting it up. Cleaning out my toe jam. Anyway. Speaking of selfies and whatnot, Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders, who was debating tonight with his other Democratic hopefuls for the presidency, there's Bernie Sanders themed underwear. I don't know. I guess it's cool. I mean, if you're a supporter of Bernie Sanders, you can go in on and buy Bernie Sanders underwear and get it shipped to your house and wear it. Yeah. Wearing Bernie Sanders underwear. Now, I'm going to say for myself, I'm not comfortable with live dudes faced by my penis. No homo. But, I mean, if that's what you want to do, I support you. If you support Bernie Sanders and you feel strongly enough about him that you would wear Bernie Sanders underwear and you would invite Bernie Sanders to your genitals, I support you 500%. Now, and some people listening may be like, well, you don't wear underwear with stuff on them, pictures, whatnot. Now, I'm not gonna confirm or deny that I may have underwear with superheroes on them. You know. But they're imaginary figures. They don't count. If I have underwear with Captain America or Wonder Woman on them, one, I probably didn't buy them. And two, they really don't exist. So it's no big deal. And I'm guessing if you're staring at Iron Man, it's probably a good thing for me. I'm just saying. Moving on. Speaking of staring at Iron Man, I guess there's a sexual assault in Washington, D.C. There are two women who are wanted for allegedly twerking on a man. And the police released this video footage of two women who were accused of sexually abusing a man in a DC convenience store. And it shows the women invading the space of a man as he looks extremely uncomfortable. So it's like in the video, it shows the first woman, she backs up on him and starts grinding. He moves away. And then there's another woman who slides up and is like touching him. But she starts moving toward his money and phone, which, of course, it seems to me like that's like a robbery. You start twerking on him and the other one go ahead on, reach in and steal your stuff. He, you know, the woman, she, you know, she puts her arms around him and tries to move forward, but he's shaking them off. Like, hey, back up off me, players. Back up off me. I ain't trying to have that. Yeah, because, like I said, it sounds like a robbery and, you know, them going toward his phone and his wallet. It seems that way. Now, I'm going to make a confession. I'm guessing my homie G and my homie Charles ain't listening. We went way back in the day, long, long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far, far away, we went down to Tijuana to celebrate my homie Charles' graduation from high school. Well, we were down in the strip club because TJ, doesn't matter. You can be 14, you can get in the strip club. Not that we were underage. We actually were of age. We were over 18, but just saying. So there was a woman, stripper, who was paying us unusual amounts of attention. You know, she jumped on me and the homie's like, get her to come over here. Get her to come over here. Now, that's not a big deal. I mean, because strippers jump on people. That happens. But what she was doing was she was in the midst of stealing from me. She actually bit off the chain that I had on. I guess put it in her mouth and that was it. Thing is that she don't know why I wasn't tripping. The chain wasn't real. It was not real gold. It was one of them. It wasn't even gold on the roll. It was like macaroni and cheese gold chain that I got it like Price Breakers, whatnot, in National City for like $2, $2, $3. It was just like y'all was perpetrating. So, and I mean, I guess she thought that she was getting away with it. Like, the harder I grind, I can steal the chain, whatnot. It's like, yeah, I kind of knew you stole my chain. But because it was a gold on the roll, $2, $3 chain, that probably turned your mouth green when you put it in your mouth. It wasn't a big deal to me. So that's my confession. That's why I never trip. And I understand the whole twerking thing. Although, I can say that kind of stuff never happens to me. Where I can go somewhere and get twerked on. No, I have yet to go to the gas station, a grocery store. Now you see those pictures of the Walmart folks and they're wearing these fantastical outfits, whatnot. I don't see that. I miss that. It's like I miss the whole I probably would have been like, hey, back up off me, depending on what the young ladies look like, but still. Just the opportunity to get twerked on. Not asking for much. Little twerk that you never hurt nobody. Although, I can see it. I mean, because if a guy's trying to twerk on a woman, that's as rape. And so a guy getting twerked on by a woman is the same concept, I guess. I won't be sexist and say, hey, suck it up and allow the twerkage to happen. Because would that be like reverse sexism? You know how they always talk about reverse racism? It's like, is that like reverse sexism? Maybe. I don't know. If you think so, hit me up, 347-826-7435. Once again, agree with me, disagree with me, 347-826-7435. In the meantime, another thing that I missed, and damn it, how do I keep missing this? Oh, 2015, Brazil, the winner of the Miss Bum Bum pageant. For those of you who don't know, I talk about this every year. This is like the fourth time I've talked about this. There's a contest. It's the nicest ass contest. Like, not the nicest ass, but the actual, you have a nice ass. It's a nice ass contest. Like, Miss Bum Bum, it's like your booty. It's a booty contest, basically. Nice ass contest. That's what I'm trying to say. In Brazil. And I guess congratulations goes to Susie Cortez, who was declared the 2015 winner of the Miss Bum Bum pageant. Oh, and 26-year-old, she beat out 500 other nice asses, including 15 at the finale Monday night. I need to be a judge for that. That is on my bucket list, to be a judge, or at least to go to the damn Miss Bum Bum contest. Matter of fact, I don't even want to go to Brazil. I'm declaring right here, right now, can we get a smooth drama bum bum contest? Can we make it happen? Ladies, I'm trying to say, who's got the nicest bum bum in the United States? Hell, I'll be happy with who got the nicest bum bum listens to my show. Smooth Drama at smoothdrama.com. What's up? Can we get some cheekage? I mean, because I'm looking, Brazil, it's nary a black butt that has won the bum bum contest in Brazil. You know, there's a lot of black folks. The second highest black, aside from here, is in Brazil. So it's a lot of ass down there. I mean, don't get me wrong, Susie Cortez represents with the bum bum. Please believe. But I'm thinking, here in the United States, we got our share. You know, being the nice guy that I am here at Smooth Drama, listeners out there, I challenge you. Hey, you know what? Let's see what we can get. Can we get it popping? Can we make it happen? Smooth Drama at smoothdrama.com. Let's just let it be. And I'm going to be cheesy, and I'm going to roll into Common. This is Common as I go on break. B.
my man Q-Tap. You got through conception. New rest and resurrection. From all new steps in that direction in the right way. Shoulder side is where the fight lay. And everything a nigga do may not be what he might say. Chicago night day. Stay on the mind, but I write many lives say. Lay on these lines, waiting signs other times. Many say the grind's on the mind. Shorty's running out and everyone wanna rhyme. Push, push your lies, killers immortalized. We got arms, but won't reach for the skies. Waiting for the Lord to rise, I'm looking to my daughter's eyes. And realize I'ma learn through her. The Messiah might even return through her. If I'ma do it, I gotta change the world through her. Birds and the men, grants wanting them. Demons and old friends, pops, they hunting them. The chosen one from the land of the frozen sun. With drunk nights, can't remember more than sober ones. Walk like warriors, we were never told to run. Explore the world to return to where my soul begun. Never looking back or too far in front of me. The present is a gift, and I just wanna be.
Together you got to move, drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was Common B. You can hit us up once again at 347-826-7435. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. I know you're shy, so if you don't want to hit me up, you can always email me, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Once again, that email is smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. In the meantime, we're talking about calling and email and whatnot. In the Cannon City, Colorado, there's a sexting scandal that's involving hundreds of students at Cannon City High School. I mean, where the parents had to attend a special meeting where they learned from an anonymous tip that hundreds of explicit photos of many students, some as young as eighth graders, are out there. I mean, for most folks, you know what sexting is. It technically is just sending photos. You know how folks will send you a photo? Well, if you have a phone, you may or may not have indulged in sending a provocative photo of yourself, as well as being the beneficiary of provocative photos being sent to you. Now, the school, after they found out there's so many students that were sexting, They canceled the football game this past Saturday because several members of the team were involved. And so, you know, they're like, oh, my God, it's hundreds. And they're like, it's flooring us to see how many photos that we were finding on the phones that we confiscated. Now, I guess they received a message from some from tipster from some app called Safe to Tell, and school comes out and says, yeah, we understand that this decision will unfairly penalize many of our fine young men who clearly did not participate in these actions. They're saying that even if the sex were consensual, students could technically face felony child pornography charges and sex offender status under Colorado law. And so Fremont County District Attorney's Office is determining whether or not formal charges will be brought. And what they're saying is the mere possession of the materials constitutes an ongoing crime. Now, I mean, I get it when Jared is doing it, because Jared's a grown-ass man, but is it child pornography when children are doing it, like your 14-year-old daughter and her 15-year-old boyfriend are sending each other texts of their body parts. Now, it's not something that you encourage, but at the same time, is that illegal? Should a kid's life be messed up forever? Because they're talking about sex offender status because kids are being kids. I mean, hell, it's a bunch of grown-ups that do that. It's a bunch of grown-ups that do that. So you look at it and say, okay, these grown-ups that send pictures to each other, I mean, they're of free will, whatnot, and they're of age, consenting age. Now you transfer it down to the kids, and the kids are supposedly consensual or not, they get their life ruined. I'm trying to get how this became a huge issue. I mean, obviously I understand it's probably parent driven, but if your kid is sexting, that's a conversation. I don't see how it's something for the police to get involved where charges are being brought. You know, unless it's these unrealistic parents, these damn fools who were like, my kid doesn't do anything. My kid's being unduly influenced by your kids. Your kids are ruining my kid. When your kid is probably the ringleader, the first one to drop a penis or vagina shot, titty shot in a heartbeat. That's normally how it goes. You're gonna get somebody who basically is the ringleader. Their parents are the first ones to come out, no, not my kid. My kid's innocent. Innocent. They don't do anything. My kid has never done anything dirty in their life. Whatever. So, yeah. Colorado. Shout out to the homegirls and Moms for Marijuana. Check your kids' phones. Well, it's too late. Kids are already taken. The phones are taken. That's just dirty. Speaking of being taken, there was a kid who found out he snapped 13 years ago. It's definitely a crazy, crazy story because apparently his father had taken him from the mother when he was like 4 or 5 years old. And so didn't find out that he was taken until he started applying for colleges, whatnot, and used his social security number, and it ends up having they find out, hey, you know, this is not your name, this is your name. So, you know, the kid, he was snatched from his Alabama home by his father. And he had been living under a assumed name in Ohio. And his mother had reported him missing from the Birmingham area in like 2002. And dropped a note saying he'd taken the boy. And I guess after years of dead ends, the tip came in couple weeks ago, and he was doing well. He applied to a few colleges, and there was a problem with Social Security number. And so when they approached him, they approached the school counselor. who was trying to help, and come to find out that the child was listed as missing by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Oh. So they're both living under assumed names with a woman and two other children. Scary. Well, not necessarily scary, but it's crazy because it's like, well, I don't know what the father is thinking. Like, you know your kid is going to need a social security number eventually. That's what happens. You get older, you need to school, establish credit, all this stuff. So to think that it's not going to get caught, not going to get found out. And I guess the father had been charged with tampering with records in Ohio to get a driver's license. And so he's going to face additional charges in Alabama, and he's being held in Ohio on a $250,000 bond. So sucks to be him. Kidnapping your own. The thing is, we don't know the circumstances. I mean, maybe the mother was a horrible mother. And so they're like, I'm gone. Because I'm thinking that the father couldn't have been that bad if the kid is looking at college and applying for colleges. He obviously, I mean, I don't recommend stealing your kid for the obvious reason. You're stealing your kid, and your kid's on the run. You're on the run with your damn kid. That's retarded. But at the same time, hey, we don't have details. Maybe the mother was not as fit as she should have been. So I don't know. But I just think it's funny. I mean, now everybody's screwed up. When maybe if they would have had a conversation, the boy could have went with daddy anyway. It's funny how that goes. Something that probably could have just went their way anyway is not. And so they're stuck with that. And spiteful woman not having her child for 13 years. Yeah, you probably going to spend some extra time in jail, because I don't think anybody in that situation would be dropping charges. The only way they drop charges nowadays is if you're a millionaire and you beat on them playing the NFL, NBA. Wink, wink. Greg Hardy comes to mind whooping on his woman's ass. You know, they just came out with pictures and more testimony. I'm like, well, if you read about what he did before, you don't need no pictures. I guess the pictures add to it, because I guess folks take that kind of stuff more seriously when they see pictures, as opposed to just the accounts. Because I guess here in America, we're the visual lot. So we see these things visually, and you're like, oh my God, are you serious? As opposed to, if we don't see Ray Rice knocking his wife out and dragging her, and as I've been affectionately told, letting her booty hang out in public, you basically, he's probably playing in the NFL right now. He's probably still with Baltimore if we don't see the brutal KO. Now, switch over to Greg Hardy. Yeah, they have pictures, but the video, you see the video of him dragging his woman and whatnot, all over, threatening. I mean, because you see the video of him, he's a Dallas Cowboy player, and he's threatening the coach. Well, not the coach, but he's threatening other players, whatnot, walking up to him menacingly, fitting that stereotype. Then, yeah, it's a big deal, but it is what it is. You only get in trouble if you're rich. But you only get off if you're rich, obviously. But you don't get in much trouble. Charges don't get dropped when you're not rich. They want you for every nickel. Every nickel. And speaking of every nickel, there's a grandma who shredded her money. An Austrian woman who shredded 950,000 euro, which comes up to 1.02 million of her fortune, just to spite her family. The 85-year-old woman. She cut the euros and some savings accounts books before leaving them on a home bed days before she died. Now they say that she did this and the reasons are unclear. For me, it's real obvious. They punk asses didn't care nothing about her. Probably didn't go see her, and if they did, it was about trying to position themselves to be nice enough to get some money from grandma. So she's like, you know what? These are some bastards. Let me cut it up. So what ends up happening is the central bank is going to replace the cash. You know, he said, and I quote, Frederick Hammerschmidt, deputy head of the OENB cash division, told him, if the heirs can only find shreds of money and if the origin of the money is assured, then of course it can all be replaced. So, even though grandma cut it, these fools are going to get the cash anyway, which is kind of sad, actually. I'm like, obviously, you piss grandma off so much, and then, oh, we don't know why. Come on. You know why. If grandma is tearing up the money, shit. Y'all did grandma wrong. I know it. They know it. Everybody knows it. But is it gonna happen? Is grandma's dream gonna come true? I'm not giving you a nickel. No, these suckers are gonna get the money. Unfortunately, unlike this woman who won $8 million in the jackpot, only to be told that, yeah, you know what, you don't win at all. So this woman, Veronica Castillo. Now, Ms. Castillo she put in $100 worth of nickels while playing the slot machine game Jurassic Riches. Then it says she won $8 million. So you know what happens. I mean, like most folks, you win $8 million, you're like, yeah, I'm celebrating. Most folks call their job right then and there like, you know what, y'all, I'm not coming back. Doesn't matter. Only to find out that the dreams are dashed when the staff at the Lucky Eagle Casino in Washington State, meaning don't go to the Lucky Eagle Casino in Washington State. They told her that there had been a malfunction with the slot machine. So instead of millions, she got $80.35. Now they came to her and she said, they told her, we have to shut off the machine. And she retorts, hey, what about the prize? Where they say, there is no prize. Now, in the statement from the casino that they released on the incident, it said, this machine offers a maximum jackpot of $20,000. The win claimed by Ms. Castillo is not legally or practically possible. Now, I get it. It's not practical. But the machine says $8 million. If I hit and the machine says $8 million, I expect $8 million. What makes it so bad is she put in $100. She got out $80.35. So they shortchanged her $19.65. I'm like, I'm walking up to them. I approach them like, hey, where is my $19.65? So at least I walk out even. I mean, because they're sitting up there telling you, hey, the machine is no good. It's malfunctioning. You're only supposed to win the jackpot of $20,000. I'm like, well, shit, give me my 20G. I'm sorry, but I won. I should get the 20G. I mean, the fact that she put in $100 only got $80.35 out. So they are paying her, well, they're subtracting from her for winning. So instead of $100, getting her $100 back and being even, they took money from her. Like, no, it's not possible that you can win. Well, hey, your machine said I won. I'm like, there's a lawsuit for that, but if I'm everybody else who's played that slot that day, I'm suing. Because, hell, how do you take my money in a faulty machine, but when I win, you won't pay up? So it was fine when it was taking people's money, but when it offered the money, they're like, hell no, 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 no. It's like, yeah, 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 yeah. I won $8 million. I reserve the right to be able to call out. Not that I'm calling out, I'm just saying that you reserve the right to call out, at least. These suckers right here. Oh, Lucky Eagle Casino. Never go there, because obviously their machines are rigged, and if you win, you can't win. If you lose, they're just going to take your money. That's my message for today, boys and girls. Don't let them take your money, because they will, because that is what they like to do. Take your money and have a good time. When you try to do the same, something is wrong with you. So you need to do some boxing. Shadow boxing, as a matter of fact. This is Wu-Tang Clan. Well, not Wu-Tang. It's the Jizzle, but it's got everybody from the Wu-Tang, Method Man, a couple other folks. Shadow boxing. Special technique. Fuck that. Special technique.
technique of shadow boxing.
Missile heat seeking, Johnny Blaze, nightmares like Wes Craven, niggas gunning, my third eye seen it coming, before it happened, you know about them fucking statin kids, they smashing, everything, huh, in any shape, form, or fashion, now everybody talking about they laughing, is you busting still or is you flashing, talking out your asshole, you should have learned about the flowing PZ Afro, the Italian stallion, the chinky eye and snot nose, from my nap, put the bunion on my big toe. I keep it moving. Notice what the fuck I'm doing. Rap insomniac. Seen to catch a nigga snoozing. Slip the cardiac. Arrest me. Exorcist hip hop possessed me. Crunch a nigga like a Netflix. You know my stage. Burning to a third degree. Sneaky ass alley cat. Top pedigree. The head toucher. Industry party bum rusher. You don't like it, dick up in your fucker. Shut up.
Yo, I slayed them seeds back in the rec room era. My style broke motherfucking backs like him for terror. Most rap niggas came loud but unheard. Once I pulled out, ground them off to the nearest third. Check these non-visual niggas with tapes in a portrait. Run the seminar trying to all business corporate. In the street, but what them niggas can't see must break through like the roof unexpectedly. Protect your neck, my floor still remains imperial. Before I blast the mic, rigid scratch off the cereal. We rain all year round from June to June. My niggas bite immediately, if not soon. Set the lynching, inform the execution date as the 2000 beyond slang self for cake. Amplify sample through back and tubes compression for RZA. The charge nigga 20 G's a chef.
The mind starts to click it, and the strategy be mastered, the plot thickens. Just be that warm shit. I don't give a cotton picking. Fuck about a brother trying to father nigga up. I hold my own. Hard happens if you don't. Look at mama baby boy acting like he grown. No time for sleep, I get deep as a baritone. Killer bee that be holding down his honeycomb. Lounging sun, move brother number one. Protect your neck, flying guillotines, here they come. Bloody bastards, hard times until attack. It's fitting words, but semi-automatic slurs. Keep the graphic, novel from the genie bottom. Hit the clutch, shift the gear now, full throttle. Time to bungee, to the next episode. That keeps it grungy, hand on my nutsack. Spitting lungs, had a whack, nigga dat. Don't understand the fact, when it come to rip the track. So I don't know how to act, real rap from the stack. Killer Hill Projects, how to be exact. Break it down, all in the oven now. Things are getting good, looking better now. Love it.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was GZA featuring Method Man, Shadow Boxing, like LL Cool J, my son's favorite rapper. Shadow Boxing, when I heard you on the radio, I just don't know. Anyway, speaking of Shadow Boxing on the radio, not knowing, I'm always fond of studies. You know how I feel about these studies that they do. They crack me up. They make me chuckle. Like there's a new study that came out talking about racism, and it's funny because me and my homie Jack, we were just talking. It's like you can't even talk about, like, black quarterbacks no more. Like, oh, ain't no black quarterback. It's like, throw a rock, you hit a black quarterback. There's so many of them. But this new study concludes that after a subpar performance, black NFL quarterbacks are roughly twice as likely to be benched the following week than their white colleagues. And I'm like, You know, I'm guessing there's some data behind that. So I had to think about it. I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna say that I know it all, but I pay attention. There are a lot of black it's not all of them black, but there's a lot of black quarterbacks where you don't even pay it no mind no more. And so, you know, in the past, it was like, oh, yeah, they won't give a black quarterback a chance. And it's like, man, black quarterback on, like, every team. Russell Wilson, Super Bowl. Doug Williams was the first. Michael Vick, Geno Smith. Hell, Buffalo got two black quarterbacks. The first stringer, Tyrod Taylor. Second stringer, E.J. Manuel. The list goes on and on and on. There are a bunch of black quarterbacks. And I'm sitting up there, I start thinking, like, okay, which quarterback or group quarterbacks where they didn't get a legit chance? Who doesn't suck? Like, you start thinking, okay, this dude's a backup, but he shouldn't be a backup because he does not suck. So I start thinking to myself, okay, Buffalo, prime example. They had three quarterbacks starting off this year. Matt Castle, who they subsequently cut or traded to Dallas. So they had E.J. Manuel and Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor starts off like a house on fire. Gets hurt. The backup is E.J. Manuel. E.J. Manuel comes in and sucks ass. He's not terrible, but he's not good. So Tyrod Taylor comes back and bam. Look, dog, you don't even need to say E.J. hold this clip. Michael Vick. Way past his prime, Michael Vick. Playing for Pittsburgh Steelers, didn't quite make the cut. So they brought in the third stringer, Landry Fields. Not Landry Fields. Some Landry. Anyway, he's the starter. White guy. But was Michael Vick benched unfairly? Hell no. I watched the game when he was, he wasn't even scrubbing. He was out there looking like me, unprepared, like, you know what? Give me the ball, coach. Nah, I don't need no game plan. I'm just going to wing it. That's how Michael Vick was out there looking. And so I start looking around, and I'm like, Teddy Bridgewater is the quarterback for Minnesota, and he's doing okay. I know, as I stated earlier, there's Russell Wilson. He seems to be finding his position. I know Jason Campbell is the backup quarterback in Cincinnati. They're doing fine. They're undefeated. It's just there's a bunch of quarterbacks that they don't deserve to be playing. If they're not playing that, RG3 in particular, out of, down in Washington, he sucks. He just sucks. Now, I'm not hating on the little piece of paper, whatnot, but at the same time, I'm like, shit, he sucks. And there are a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL that suck. They won the Heisman. Johnny Manziel comes to mind. A bunch of cats. They suck. Black or white. I can't even believe that I'm defending this, that I'm there. I'm like Michael Jackson. It don't matter, but my baby, don't matter if she's black or white. As far as quarterback goes, look, can that cat win? You know, as somebody who, knee deep in sports. I'm like, my quarterback is Drew Brees. I love Drew Brees. I mean, he's got a lot of records and record books, whatnot. And at the same time, he, you know, quarterback of my team. If he's black, I love him. But he's white, I still love him. Because we win with him. All that other stuff. And these cats suck. I'm sorry. But, yeah, they suck. Major ass. Not like literally ass, but, yeah, they suck. That's it. But what didn't suck was Missouri. Their football team, when they did that boycott announcement that forced their president to quit. You don't know about it. University of Missouri, there were a bunch of racial attacks on their campus. So what ended up happening is somebody heard about it from the football team, and they were like, you know what? We're going to boycott the game unless we get some kind of change, because what's happening is terrible. So what ends up happening is their AD quits. I don't know his name and don't give a damn about it. So what the University of Missouri does is they hire a diversity officer. They're expanding training and bolstering mental health services. So after the student protests of campus racism, it's been complained about, they're like, you know what? Hey, we're hooking y'all up. We got a diversity officer. We're going to expand the training in both of those mental health services. Now, I'm trying to get how that makes things better, but whatever. It was funny because they threatened the money, because the football team said they weren't going to play. Now, Missouri is part of the SEC, and the SEC has the SEC network. So if they don't play, they're now ESPN. ESPN has paid them money that they would want back from the school or somebody in that organization. As far as the school goes, somebody had to get up off the cash to make up for the players not playing. Now, I'll take a guess that eventually the NCAA is going to do something to alleviate that, but it goes to show you that there is a lot of power that the players possess. Players possess a lot of power, because if they didn't, they wouldn't have got all these concessions. Now, whether or not they're going to continue to use said power to their benefit, I don't know. And maybe they're not all as organized as they are in Missouri. But I can tell you what, you best believe they're a bunch of presidents and administrative directors who are paying close attention to that. They're like, hell no, we don't need that type of stuff going on our campus. We treat our Negroes good on our campus. We feed them. We give them space so they can read them books. We are real good to them. Anyway, let me stop that. But yeah, it is a testimony on what you can do when you're organized. Now, obviously, this diversity training is not necessarily something that may work and may stop folks from being racist, but they got the university's attention. And I'll take a guess, every university's attention. Now, for me, I, on the other hand, was paying attention to something else. I mean, racism, I know. I understand the racism game to the fullest. What I don't understand is in Meridian, Mississippi, where there's a giant hole that just opened up, swallowed up 14 vehicles at an IHOP Saturday night, just 1 week after the place opened. Now, you know, it's a sinkhole and it's huge, and they say it's like 50 feet wide and about 125 feet wide. And they're talking about it just sucked up 14, 15 vehicles. Now, they said the initial report said it was a sinkhole. But they don't know for sure. I don't understand that. Like I said, I understand racism, but I don't understand how lately we have sinkholes. We have holes that just open up out of the blue and swallow cars and houses. I don't know about y'all, but that is real scary to me. I can be at the house chilling, and a hole can open up and swallow my house, car, and me for that matter. That don't scare anybody else. Nobody cares about sinkholes. The fact that they just open up out of the blue on the street in the city, several cities, in the street, for no reason, no explanation whatsoever. That's nothing to think about. That's not scary. I mean, you know, the racism, all that, I find it appalling. But I find it scarier and even more appalling when I hear about streets opening up. I'm somebody who in the past, I walked down the street. I still hate for it to open up and just swallow me whole. Even though swallow me whole sounds good every now and again. But that's a whole nother conversation. On that note, I'm Mr. F the N-Word. And this is another Smooth Drama production. I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together you got smooth drummer.